You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Petrol prices. We know full well that when that phrase is used, it is generally followed by bad news. Besides, this is a business and finance podcast, so we don't deal in misplaced optimism around here. So onward to the pain. Fuel prices in India have been flirting with the 100 rupee mark for a few months now. You know that bit. And petrol prices in Mumbai have crossed 90 rupees per litre this week, holding as of now at 90 rupees and 30 paise. Now, the merry people of Delhi, Gurgaon and Noida pay between 82 rupees and 84 rupees for a litre of petrol. Bangaloreans pay 83 rupees 61 paise per litre, so they can spend some quality time in that legendary traffic. But you elitist city dwellers ought to quit groaning, because as of this recording, the town of Nanded in central Maharashtra pays the most for a litre of petrol in India, 91 rupees 86 paise.
The Deep Dive podcast series. All you need to know about fuel prices.
So, earlier, fuel prices in India were revised on the 1st and 16th of every month. In June of 2017, this changed and oil companies began revising fuel prices on a daily basis, with new prices becoming effective at 6 a.m. every day. Now, since the last month, petrol prices have risen by around 5 rupees per litre in most cities, while diesel prices have gone up by around 3 rupees per litre. So, if you're filling your car with 30 litres of petrol, you are now paying approximately 2,500 rupees in Delhi, give or take 100 bucks between Gurgaon and Noida, and a whopping 2,709 rupees in Mumbai. Those diesel cars some of you purchased because, you know, diesel is cheaper in the long run, etc. Well, you're tanking up 30 litres at a cost of 2,364 rupees in Mumbai and 2,225 in Delhi. With such high prices, the centre has been requesting states to reduce the value-added tax, or VAT, on fuel, so some relief can be provided to the common man. A report in the Hindustan Times indicated that 5 northern states, Haryana, Punjab, Delhi, Himachal Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh, as well as the Union Territory of Chandigarh, have come to an agreement on uniform fuel rates, which is a bit surprising, given that the 5 states are governed by different political parties, BJP, AAP and Congress. Now, in the current political climate, spiraling fuel prices have given rise to aman ki aasha. At a meeting of finance ministers from these states, it was decided that a committee of officers would submit a report 2 weeks from now on establishing uniformity in fuel prices. The government wants to basically ensure that widely different VAT rates do not result in consumers hopping borders to fill fuel. Look at that, rival parties and state governments banding together to disallow citizens from being frugal. Such heartwarming unity of purpose. Anyway, Punjab levies a tax of 35.12% on petrol. This is the highest in northern India. However, the state government has refused to cut down VAT, claiming it is hard-pressed for funds. The tax on fuel, it says, is a major source of cash flow that finances health, education and other expenses. Deputy Chief Minister Manpreet Badal also added that the VAT charged by Punjab on diesel is lower than its neighbouring states. Chandigarh, a union territory, has the lowest prices among the 6. But this idea may not be to customers' liking. Another such meeting was held in May 2015, and the Arvind Kejriwal government had to hike VAT on petrol from 20% to 25% and diesel from 12.5% to 16.6% to bring them on par with Punjab and Haryana. Other state governments have tried to tweak their tax rates to combat fuel price rise. 6 BJP-ruled states slashed their taxes in October last year, while states like Kerala and Andhra did the same only recently. Andhra Pradesh Chief Minister Chandrababu Naidu, who recently walked away from the NDA coalition, took aim at the centre yet again. He said, and we quote, "Petrol will soon cost 100 rupees. They're going to hit a century, and the rupee will also touch the century mark. You can then buy petrol paying a dollar." Unquote. Former finance minister and senior Congress party leader P. Chidambaram, who is under investigation for corruption charges, was perhaps relieved that he can point fingers at someone else for a change. He blamed the government and excessive taxes for rising petrol and diesel prices. He tweeted that petrol and diesel must be brought under GST. So, what's behind the crazy prices? Earlier this month, Dharmendra Pradhan, the Union Minister for Petroleum and Natural Gas, said, and we quote, "external factors," unquote, were responsible for the rise in petrol and diesel prices, but claimed the increases are temporary. The government has come under some serious pressure to cut excise duty on petrol and diesel to help bring down fuel prices. Chidambaram said, and we quote, "if taxes are cut, prices will decline significantly," unquote. Pradhan said, and we quote again, "I would like to mention two points, and both these subjects are external. OPEC, or the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, had promised it would raise production by 1 million barrels per day, which was not raised. Apart from that, crises in countries like Venezuela and Iran are increasing. There is a pressure on oil prices due to decrease in production. Secondly, global currencies have weakened against the US dollar," unquote. He also blamed what he called the isolationist policies of the US for the abnormal rise in fuel prices in the international markets. The minister is not incorrect in his assessment. We need to look at the larger picture. What impacts oil prices globally and how that affects us. So, OPEC, or the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, which accounts for approximately 40% of global oil production, ignored US President Donald Trump's call to boost supply, prompting traders worldwide to wonder if oil prices would cross the $100 per barrel mark once again. The highest ever price of international crude oil was $147 per barrel, and this was in July of 2009. To this confusion, escalating tensions between the US and Venezuela and America demanding an end to all imports of Iranian oil by early November. The rupee's run as Asia's worst performing currency of the year has also compounded problems and put India, the third largest importer of oil in the world, in a rather tight spot. Interestingly, despite the price-related chaos at home, India will cease imports from Iran before American sanctions on that country take effect. India is the second largest buyer of Iranian oil, having imported an average of 577,000 barrels of oil a day this fiscal. That is around 27% of Iran's oil exports, according to Bloomberg. According to officials at Indian Oil Corporation and Bharat Petroleum, the country's largest state-owned refiners, there have been no requests for Iranian cargoes for loading in November. Mangalore Refinery and Petrochemicals Limited hasn't made any nominations for that month, but may do so later, a company official told Bloomberg. Those three companies, along with Nayara Energy, account for nearly all of India's oil imports from Iran. Amrita Sen, chief oil analyst at Energy Aspects Limited in London, said in a note, and we quote, "Iranian imports may drop below $1 million a day in November, with Indian refiners potentially loading nothing and China cutting back as well," unquote. International politics and global oil production. Will $100 per barrel come true? The rapid drop in Iranian exports has helped push Brent crude, this is the global benchmark, to a four-year high above the $80 per barrel mark. Bank of America Merrill Lynch even wondered if a 2008-style price hike was inevitable. Mercuria Energy Group Limited and Trafigura Group, among the world's biggest trading houses, predict that the loss of Iran's supply will push crude prices to $100 a barrel for the first time since 2014. BP CEO Bob Dudley said he sees the sanction on the OPEC nation having a bigger impact on the market this time around than the previous round of restrictions 6 years ago. Then there is the issue of the Trump administration. The USG, taking a harder stance, wants all imports from Iran to cease by November, and it's not clear if any waivers will be granted. In previous sanctions under the Obama administration, the government had allowed nations to continue purchases at reduced levels. India was one of those countries that continued to import Iranian oil. Bloomberg reported that about 4 months ago, India said it won't adhere to unilateral restrictions and will continue buying Iranian crude. China, too, made similar comments and was said to have rejected an American request to cut imports. The Trafigura Group's co-head of oil trading, Ben Lukoc, said this week that after Trump's announcement in May that he would reimpose sanctions on Iran's oil exports, the market estimated a cut of about 300,000 to 700,000 barrels a day. Now, however, the consensus has moved to as much as 1.5 million barrels per day because the US is seen as being incredibly serious about its measures. Not everyone is buying into the hysteria, though. Goldman Sachs for one. According to the investment bank, barring another unexpected supply outage, the market should ride out the year just fine. Goldman analysts wrote in a note, and we quote, "We believe another supply catalyst beyond Iran would likely be needed for prices to meaningfully break to the upside. In particular, we continue to expect that production from other OPEC producers and Russia will offset losses out of Iran, as has been the case so far," unquote. Is that the misplaced optimism I mentioned earlier? Are we just supposed to believe that fuel prices won't surge further? Nick Cunningham writes in oilprice.com that the analysis is notable since Goldman has often been a bit more at the bullish end of pricing forecasts. The bank's analysts went to lengths to emphasize that it is not pessimistic on oil prices and it maintains its overweight outlook on oil and other commodities. It admitted that Iran's supply losses have mounted much faster than expected, having dropped about 0.65 million barrels per day since April. It even says more losses are expected with sanctions set to kick in early November. Iran's oil exports to Europe, Japan, and South Korea have already plunged to negligible levels, and China has also cut back on purchases from Iran. Goldman Sachs insists that there's no reason to panic. We quote, "The decline occurred faster than we had expected, although some Iranian production is likely being exported through Iraq, with Basra loadings up 0.3 million barrels per day over the same period. While we adjust our Iran export path to reflect this faster decline, this has no impact on our oil balance as we continue to expect that the rest of OPEC will offset such losses," unquote. Now, let's bear in mind that Libya's oil production just rose to a five-year high at 1.28 million barrels per day. Also, Saudi Arabia has hinted it would ramp up production in September and October as Iranian supply goes offline. Further, production from the neutral zone between Saudi Arabia and Kuwait could also come back online, adding about 0.3 million barrels per day by the first quarter of 2019, according to Goldman's analysts. But it does seem that, for now, OPEC Plus doesn't think a major increase in production is necessary and doesn't appear concerned about a price hike. Meanwhile, S&P Global Ratings released a report this week which said Brent price is expected to hover at the $70 per barrel mark for the rest of 2018 and at $65 for 2019 and $60 for 2020. What does this mean for India? Retail prices of petrol and diesel in India track the global prices of these auto fuels, not crude, although they are broadly linked to crude oil price trends, which have firmed up. Any rally in global crude oil price will impact India's oil import bill and trade deficit. Every increase by a dollar in oil prices can raise the country's import bill by around 10,700 crore rupees annually. Fuel prices have also been rising on the cue of rising crude oil prices and a falling rupee against the dollar. Today's price for a barrel of crude oil is a little over $82. The price rise will widen India's fiscal and current account deficits. It could also lead to higher inflation and interest rates, which can affect consumption and investments. A Bloomberg report noted that a $10 per barrel rise in crude prices can increase inflation by nearly 30 basis points and stunt growth by 10 basis points. That said, despite global crude oil prices being low as compared to 2011 and 12, Indians are having to pay far more at petrol pumps. The average price of crude in March 2011 was $104.42 per barrel, while the price of petrol in Delhi was 58 rupees 37 paise per litre. And petrol prices have now crossed the 90 rupee mark in Mumbai, as we had mentioned earlier. The government claims that the pinch felt now is on account of feckless borrowing to subsidize prices in the past. The BJP claimed in a tweet on the 10th of September that the UPA government left behind a debt burden of 1.3 lakh crores in oil bonds, which the current government has paid off. In June, Petroleum Minister Dharmendra Pradhan said, and we quote, "Congress party purchased oil bonds of 1.44 lakh crores that we have inherited. Not only this, we also paid 70,000 crores on interest part alone. In total, we, the government, discharged our responsibility by repaying over 2 lakh crore rupees," unquote. A money control report noted that one of the first policy interventions of the current government was to deregulate the price of diesel. The report claims that oil bonds were issued by the previous government when fuel prices were regulated. In this manner, the government shielded customers and domestic businesses from the vagaries of the global oil. In this manner, the government shielded customers and domestic businesses from the vagaries of the global market for crude oil. However, subsidies were soon done away with and excise duties were also increased. The report also claims that despite enjoying gains from the drop in global oil prices, the NDA government has opted to shore up revenue by raising taxes instead of passing on benefits to customers. The fuel market is a major contributor to government revenues. Records maintained by the PPAC show that of the 18.23 lakh crore that flowed into government coffers between 2014 and 15 and 17-18, 11.04 lakh crores was in the form of central taxes. The role of the falling rupee. It's no secret that the rupee is Asia's worst performing currency this year. It has lost more than 12% this year and is now at 72 rupees 96 paise to the dollar. Meanwhile, Brent has gained over 20.5%. So this fall in the rupee's value is also contributing to escalating fuel prices. Since we import a majority of our oil, a weakening rupee will mean higher costs. And since retail prices are now linked to the global market, higher fuel prices will mean bigger fuel bills for you and I. And because excise duty is a percentage of the base price at which fuel is exported, the greater the price of acquiring fuel, the more the money that goes to the government. Devendra Kumar Pant, chief economist at India Ratings, the local unit of Fitch Ratings Limited, estimates that if oil prices average $75 a barrel in the year to March, India's oil import bill will rise by a whopping $30 billion. To combat the spiraling crisis, some industry sources told the Times of India, oil companies are considering cutting imports and relying on stockpiled crude. That is, of course, a risky strategy. While using crude inventories could save short-term import costs, it also makes the companies vulnerable to importing more oil later at higher prices. Walking a tightrope. The government has resisted the popular trend of cutting fuel prices to avoid foregoing tax revenue and missing budget goals. For instance, the Maharashtra government said the state would lose revenue to the tune of 2,200 crore rupees per year if it slashes the price of petrol and diesel by 1 rupee per litre. Record retail fuel costs are adding to Prime Minister Narendra Modi's challenge of tackling a hurtling pace of economic growth that's boosting ownership of vehicles and demand for oil. Some analysts say the Modi government did not pass on the benefits of lower crude oil prices in the international markets for over 2 years after coming to power because it wanted to maximize the petrol revenue to fund social welfare schemes. An India Today report observed that not all fuels in India are market-linked. The centre still bears a part of the cost for kerosene and LPG. The government subsidises kerosene and LPG to protect the weaker sections of society. This fiscal's union budget put the combined LPG and kerosene subsidy bills at about 25,000 crore rupees. Around 16,500 crores goes towards the direct benefit transfer component of the LPG subsidy bill. You know this one, the subsidy most of us knew we didn't need, but never bothered to give up. If the government reduces taxes on petrol and diesel, revenue generation will nosedive. Every cut of 2 rupees in the prices of petrol and diesel would lead to revenue loss of around 30,000 crore rupees. And any reduction in expenditure on social welfare schemes would lead the government to be branded as anti-poor. That is something they cannot risk with just 8 months to the all-important 2019 general elections. Some analysts claim that a reduction of 2 rupees per litre might not even help the government alter any perceptions about managing petrol and diesel prices anyway. Given the sanctions on Iran and elections in May, Sri Parve Karasu, an analyst at industry consultant FGE in Singapore, said, and we quote, India is clearly walking on a tightrope now with a double whammy of higher oil prices and falling rupee. It remains to be seen how long the government can afford to not do anything given two key conflicting events around the corner.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.